Hey everyone, welcome back to the Growth Signal. We are throwing out that old playbook and reimagining the future of customer experience. And I am so excited to introduce you to a friend that is joining us on the show today. Her name is Irene, and she came to me by way of another former podcast guest, just a really great example of the power of personal relationships, making connections, and getting a chance to meet people all over the world. So welcome to the show, Irene.
Thank you, Alyssa. It's great to be here.
So one of the questions that our listeners are used to me asking is, you know, tell me your origin story. How did you get here?
Yeah. Well, I'll try to concatenate it. But in over the 24 years, I've been leading a lot of customer programs, executive programs like customer advisory boards for pre-IPO, post-IPO, for big companies who want to, you know, who their average customer spends $20 million a year in storage. So I've seen it all. And the one thing that a customer advisory board really does, it brings such trust and also validates so much, not just for the company, but for the customer. So bringing people together, it's kind of like tribalism, right? When you're sitting together in a fire, you're talking, you're exchanging, you're building this connection. And for me, this moment of why should I be doing this and why should I be writing a book is I believe that we need to forge more human connection in this digital world. Like we got to meet because of Rob or Tim or whoever, right? It's that connection that allows us to really do our best work together.
So for those who aren't familiar, explain to us, like, what's the difference between a customer advisory board and a focus group?
That's a really good question. Thanks. So traditionally, focus groups are picked by a third-party agency, and you tell them what you want. Like, I want a person that's in their 30s. They have to be a college grad, you know, a certain persona. A customer advisory board is you're handpicking strategic customers, customers that have a lot of knowledge in maybe their area of expertise or their industry. They might have really good use cases. What can we learn from the customer? And the bigger difference is a customer advisory board is over 1 to 2 days. So people meet together or they meet online. A focus group usually is, you know, you drive, you go there for 2 hours, you're in a room, there's a double pane window. Well, a mirror, sorry. And so there's no really connection. There's someone proctoring the questions and asking these people like, hey, what do you think of this shoe? Would you buy it for $150? Things like that. So that's a focus group. And a customer advisory board is where executives handpick customers and sit down for about 1 to 2 days discussing not just things that the company, the vendor want to know, but what actually the customer wants to know about the company as well.
You know, we see that customer advisory boards are pretty common in some of those larger organizations, right? You mentioned where it's like $1 million client. But what if I'm I'm an established business, but I'm kind of more mid-market. I'm by no means a big dog.
Now,
like, would I find value in a customer advisory board?
Absolutely. I think everyone can. And I was telling I'll even go down to my local optometrist. My local optometrist finally bought out the old optometrist and decided, oh, I was thinking of actually asking a bunch of customers. I said, well, you should have a customer advisory board, but let's just shift back to that mid-market. I think our focus is mid-market. I forgot about that. But what I'm trying to say is that if you have mid-market customers, you also want to learn what your customers are thinking. You want to also know what they're using so you can actually build a much more strategic roadmap with them. They might become your design partners. Out of these customer advisory boards, even in a mid-market, they're likely much more agile as a company to try new things. So you can actually be much more innovative in the mid-market than the enterprise.
Yeah, I recorded an episode a couple of days ago, and the guest said something like, you know, your company is either operations obsessed, product obsessed, or customer obsessed, right? They're building a great product, they're focused on the bottom line, or like as their primary thing, or their customer obsessed. Is there a risk though with, you know, I presume on your customer, if you're inviting people to your customer advisory council, they're your most important, most high dollar clients most of the time. Is there a risk that you end up building something for 20% of your customer base when the other 80% isn't invited to those meetings?
Well, actually, so everyone runs customer advisor boards differently. I actually like to have a little bit of a mix. So I don't always have like the biggest customers. I actually interview the customers first. So they usually are nominated by sales or CSMs. And then I talk to them. And I really want to get a sense if they're going to engage. So some of them could be a smaller business. They might not be buying the whole enterprise product line. They might just buy the essential, the early. And that might be a good reason to and listen to them and be a part of an enterprise. Say if they're not used to sitting with enterprise customers, it's good to have a mix. It's not good to just say, hey, we're just going to go after the C-suite and invite the top 20 customers. So by that, people have a different intake, different lens. They can share their experiences, their industry. And I think that makes a more well-rounded CAB. And people are a lot more interested in learning from each other. So it's not just the learning of the executive team, the vendor presenting, but it's really between the customers too. They're learning. And usually this is a new network because they might have never met this person in their network because they're all flown to meet together in the special venue.
So if I'm a listener and I wanted to kind of go down this road of starting some kind of customer advisory board, what is the very first thing I would need to do internally or externally to start that process?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I think number one, you need an executive sponsor, someone who has the vision of what they want to do with the customer. That's number one. Number two is the vision. Mission statement. You need a mission statement. Yeah. And that mission statement is shared internally and externally with the customer. So they know why you're part of the board. So it could be fostering a community of new technology or new invention. It could be learning how to understand our current economy and how to keep growing in this economy. Like it's sort of like a lot of people say customer advisory boards are often like therapy because you're coming together, talking about the challenges together. And how are you building together? So a lot of customers, they might talk customer to customer, but this is their time to come together and go back to the executive and say, we really need this. And everyone agrees. Oh, yeah, we do. We need this. Why don't you build it for us? We would buy it from you, for example. These are the kind of conversations that happen.
Like in some of the outcomes that you've seen, like when you've seen these customer advisory boards actually work, you know, tell us about what that looks like. What does successful customer advisory board look like versus one that's just good?
Yeah. The good ones are where people actually kind of sometimes throw out the agenda and just put the slides down and actually have a conversation. And they might go to the whiteboard and they might whiteboard. A customer might get up and they're whiteboard. So it's like a jam session. That's what we're meant to do as humans. We're meant to collaborate, we're meant to get up and talk and walk and have this conversation. And that fuels excitement. And another really good one is these breaks. When you have a little break, you make sure that you have breaks that you can have that little side conversations with people. A CEO that I worked for, he was a CFO in his past life. And then he was the CEO and a founder of this company. He wanted to sit next to Latin American companies or customers that had Latin American offices. And so he wanted to build a special relationship because he knew down the line that he was going to build out Brazil and Mexico City offices. So things like that, like making sure that you have that space and time where you're engaging. It's not like, okay, I want to show them everything we're doing. And it's going to be 100 slides. I know that sounds corny, but it happens because as a vendor, you have to, and there's just like this muscle that you have to prove that you're ahead, you're forging, you're doing, you're building. But actually, it's part of listening. You need to listen to what the customers want. Another story, if I may, I was in Australia and we brought our best technical people from Israel to fly in. We brought a couple people from San Francisco to fly in. We met all the top banks. We met the U.S. Postal Service for Australian Postal Service. And we had this board meeting and they actually said, oh, just a second. Do you know about our new compliance, especially in the financial services? It's coming in a year. And we actually didn't. We didn't know that because we had hired just a new GM from Australia. So we actually stopped our slides, our presentation, and we had each of the major banks tell us what they're working on. And it actually created a new dialogue where we were creating new features for Asia Pacific. And that market, that Asia Pacific market actually almost outperformed the US because they needed to get special engineering. They needed special projects. They needed, you know, early servers, everything, all the infrastructure. And they ended up as an early design partner, became one of the biggest customers and fastest growing customers in Asia Pacific because of this compliance. So in other words, listening to your customers, being willing to put down your deck and getting feedback from people. That's the best way. Another way is sometimes you want to ask in advance a few customers who are going to be a part of the board. Hey, we're going to present these slides. What's your feedback? And just get their feedback. And that might help you tailor it down. Be vulnerable, right, with your customers and ask for help, because that's where that trust builds and where people want to help you during the customer advisory board.
I want to go back to something you said about being willing to put down your slides. I mean, how many times have we been in, you know, let's take it out of the customer advisory board. Let's take it just back to simple, like pitching as a sales activity or a relationship with your customer. How many times have you been in a pitch where they were clearly just going to go through their slides, regardless of your reaction or what you said? I was just in one of those a couple of days ago. And there were so many moments where like he could have stopped and asked me questions about my experience. And then we ended up ending early because he had to go, I had to go. And he basically, I think I don't know that I talked at all. And yet I'm trying to be pitched here and no understanding necessarily of what my concerns were, or what my challenges were, or if this was even in alignment, you know, halfway through that pitch. So giving yourself permission to put down the pitch and have a human conversation, whether right. you're pitching, talking to your customers, talking to a few key stakeholders, like you don't always have to follow the script that you've created in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think we don't do it enough. I think because in our jobs, we're supposed to produce. We need to produce a story, a data, and we need to have this, and we need to go through every touch point because we're measured by it. And at the end of the day, you know, that's our measurement, is to stay ahead, to be the best of what we do in our job. So we always have to have the slides. We almost hide behind the slides without pausing and having a discussion, having an icebreaker, talking a little bit, building a relationship, say, okay, well, you know what? We have 20 more minutes. I can show you a quick demo, or I could just show you this one slide because you mentioned you're challenged with X, and we can talk about that. And when you're ready, we can maybe set up another time. We can go through the rest. Like, I think this is the thing that people obviously want to get through everything and then go on to the next. And I think often we as humans need to slow down a little bit and have much more of a dialogue with our customers or prospects.
And not only that, like I've been in, you know, how many corporate trainings where they're like, use this system, use this method because it works. But they're forgetting that there is the layer of individualism, both for you as the seller and the customer who's hearing this. So like empowering our teams to allow for some individualism. But if you're not training your sellers or your customers to ask questions and to experience a conversation rather than a pitch, it's going to be really hard for people to break away from that because they're not necessarily going to have the confidence to do so.
Actually, Brenda, can I share a tip? One chief product officer, he said when he was walking through listening and then walking through the roadmap, and he was like, oh, so-and-so, you touched on this. Okay. He just jumped to the slide. He didn't, you know, he probably rehearsed, I got to do this and do that. And he didn't. He went, boop, okay, we're going to go that slide. We're going to talk about this. We're going to move this up. He orchestrated everything because he was listening to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he didn't say, well, okay, just a second, I'm going to go through the slides. Because I practiced this way. And the other tip he did was, he said, please call my baby ugly. He said that several times. And he said, do that because we're here to listen to you. We want your feedback. What would you like? And that was that moment where a lot of the companies that were sitting there, or the executives there, that our customers, were actually taken back, that they're like, wow, we're given permission to give you real feedback. Because some people in the board will be, okay, I'll be polite. I mean, people are polite in general, but there's this level of politeness that, like, wow, I can really dive in deep. Somebody said, oh, you know what? And are you going to be around? You're a little startup. And they're like, no, we're not a little startup. Look at all these big customers here. And because we're here. We're here to stay. We're building a really big business around our security. So in other words, be honest, jump around your slides. Also, call your baby ugly, meaning we really want your feedback. Okay, so some executives.
You made a comment about like asking permission. I think that that's actually a really key point, right? Like, give people permission to not hurt your feelings, right?
That's right.
I tell people we have a rule when I'm working with my team is there's no ego in creation. So when we're building something new, you have to put your ideas out there. Don't hold anything to the vest, but also don't be offended if someone disagrees with your idea. And that requires a high degree of trust, right? Because we're taking a risk that someone's going to say something that's going to hurt someone else's feelings. But I think you have to have that a little bit with your customers. Like, if your customers aren't getting it, that's not their fault, right? If they don't see the vision, that's not your customer's fault. This is your opportunity to take that feedback and do something about it, and we'll all be better for it.
Yeah. Yes.
So tell me, what are you working on right now? What's the big project on your plate?
I am actually working on a lot of virtual customer advisory boards and partner advisory boards. And they're a little bit different these days because people are, you know, pinching their pennies, and we really want to still see the customer, but we really have to find a way to do that with everyone's budget. So some people can't travel. It's like some executives currently cannot travel. Maybe they have medical issues, but we still want to have a virtual cab. So we're doing, instead of a virtual cab for 3 hours, we're having it over a course of the series. So 90 minutes and then 60 and 60. But we have to do a lot of prep work, and we have to make sure if we can't, we need to shut down the slides and have a conversation instead. It's better to have these little dialogues and squint and look at, oh, what did Calissa think when I was doing that roadmap? Did she not like that? We don't want that. Or the partner events where they're one day where we have our partners come in, we educate them. In the afternoon, we can have also a customer event where we're updating them. And then in the evening, a prospecting event. So all in one. And you can have it, you don't have to have it at a hotel. You can save some money. You can have it at a Topgolf facility where you walk in and everything's all set up and you can have some fun in the evening. Or you can have it at a special family restaurant. You can help a local restaurant out and rent out the whole restaurant for the day. And maybe have the chef come in and do a little demo of their special dish. Something that's a little bit special, but it's not over the top. It's not like, hey, let's go to St. Regis and blow $1,000 on a person. That's not, to me, that's wonderful. Oh, wow. But it's not really, you're not taking in what the customer wants. It's about the content and about building connection what's more important, and being upfront with the customer.
Yeah, I love the idea of like Topgolf or something like that specifically, because I feel like there's always a meeting after the meeting, right? Like, you do your pitch and then you go grab some coffee, and that's where the actual real nuggets of conversation
happen. There you go. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so, you know, kind of the same, like, imagine doing your pitch and then just saying, all right, let's play some golf, and then having a conversation, whether the customer wants to talk about your product or their experience, or just wants to build a human relationship beyond, you know, what your working and transactional relationship is. You know, Irene, as you think about all of the incredible people that you've had a chance to meet, you know, that you know personally or that you aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we think about customer relationships?
Wow. There's so many folks, but I just want to actually give a shout out to someone who's, I think he's just dynamic. So that's that person I was talking about who said, call my baby ugly. And that's Amol Kabe. And he is the chief product officer at StrongDM. He's just a phenomenal, just a person and a father and a husband. He's wonderful, right? But not only that, he exudes, I am here to listen to you. I want to build a product that people will use. But not only that, we're looking to change cybersecurity and identity management. And we have a new stack, but we can't get there without your feedback because we're building really new technology, a new stack. So in other words, Amol is building and he's a futurist, but he's also a realist. He wants to listen to his customers. And I think a lot of people, executives don't do that as much. They don't.
I think a lot of people profess to do that. They want to do that, but they don't actually do that.
Yes. And he kept saying it. And he smiled. He's like, please, don't hold back. Tell us. We need to hear this. We're pretty lean, but we want to get bigger, but we can't we need this customer. We need the customer data. We need it. Not customer data, but we need the customer stories. We need your use cases. Yeah. So we can go back and we can build a whole new engineering team to do this or do that, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Irene, if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more, where can they find you online?
Oh, I think the best place is LinkedIn. I mean, that's where we found each other. It's like the 24/7 trade show, right, where we get to meet everyone. So LinkedIn at Irene Yam.
Awesome. Well, we will drop that in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. And I look forward to hearing about your success with your new book and your customer advisory boards.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
All right.